Hello and welcome to episode 163 of the Saints Score podcast. As you can see from the title, it's coming straight after Southampton's home defeat against Nottingham Forest. The Saints, well, they remain at the bottom of the Premier League table after 18 games, winning 3, drawing 3 and losing 12. So thanks to Leicester, Chelsea and Bournemouth for 9 of those points. So soon after Ralph Hasenhüttl's departure, we did not think we'd have to do a podcast like this. After 5 games, how long does Nathan Jones have at the helm? It's our second ever emergency podcast, the first being after our 9-0 loss to Leicester. So it sort of shows the drama behind this one. We've got Ollie, we've got Jamie, and we could have Mikey later with myself, Harry Tizard. And both of you boys went to the game today. I'll start with you, Ollie. Just tell me everything.
Tell you everything. Well, I think today we'll have much less structure than we normally do. I have no planning, no research, nothing like that. It's basically just going to be what I saw. And what I saw was, first of all, an awful game of football. Really poor. And a real worrying sign, almost confirmation in the fact that as it stands, we are not good enough for the Premier League. Whether that be Nathan Jones and his setup, the players that we have, or the board's direction, on our current course, we will go down. And that's what I ended up thinking and seeing today as I left the stadium.
Jamie, I'll go to you just for your overall thoughts as well, because you were there, so you saw it all unfold in front of your eyes.
The only positive thing to come of this game was I got to sit in the Kingsman Premium for free.
Lovely.
I had a nice padded seat to watch Southampton be terrible in.
Nice.
That's genuinely the only good thing that happened today. The only good thing.
Let me show you. You know, that's what this podcast is. It's another loss, our fourth under Jones. I think our sixth overall consecutively in the Premier League. I don't know what the shorter question is. What went wrong or what went right in, you know, the time that he's been here?
I honestly have no idea what he did in those 6 weeks during the World Cup. Mm. Because you think about it, every other team has come back looking strong. Every time we look positive, we look worse than we did under Ralph Hasenhüttl. That is a fact. We are playing worse. The players at least kind of cared and tried under Ralph. But it seems like the players never took to Nathan Jones and will never take to him.
I think you're right, Jamie. And I think my point that I kept on coming back to is that there is absolutely no identity in in the way that we play. With Ralph, we knew it was a pressing style, almost like a relentless press, and then pressing after we lost the ball to create attacks. Okay, we knew that was our style. And with previous managers, we've replaced with similar styles. We've gone for I want to say a completely different style to Ralph, but I don't know what the style is. I don't know, is it long ball? Because the amount of long balls I saw today was ridiculous. Considering the defensive two of Joe Worrall and Bolly for Nottingham Forest averaged about 6'5" between them. Why the hell we were playing so many long balls? This is where we need Mikey to pull out the stat. But I think you can tell any person that watched that game at St Mary's knew from about 10 minutes in that was not going to work. And we continue to do so because we had no other option. We had no midfield play. The wing backs in a 3/5, I personally think it was a 5 because they were so close together. There was absolutely no width in the side, no football being played. And you could tell from about 15 minutes in that it wasn't working and fans were already booing. And like, I don't agree with fans booing 15 minutes in, because what message does that send to the players in the first place? But it at least tells you as a manager, something's got to change because this is not working. And that message didn't get through. It wasn't changed at halftime. It took late until the second half until we even moved out of a 5 and into a 4. It was slow on the reactions. The play was poor. The build-up play was non-existent. None of the players particularly can walk off that pitch being proud of themselves. And overall, it was a horrible game of football with probably the two worst teams in the league. Mm.
Jamie, do you echo that sentiment?
The thing I'd like to highlight is at times I didn't think we had a midfield. For a lot of the first half, we had 4 attacking players, nothing in the midfield, and then everyone in defence. There's no in between play. And like I said, Ollie was saying, all we'd do was cross, cross, cross. It's the same thing as Lincoln. All we kept doing is cross, cross, cross to Sakumara. I don't know why he was even starting, first of all. And to Che Adams, who, don't get me wrong, I think he is decent. It's just he is not working under this system. Che Adams has only ever worked for Southampton when he has a decent player to play off and then he can help him finish, which is nothing wrong with that. That's how he plays. That's fair enough. However, we have never, ever replaced that since Ings. Brozier, not really a replacement. He was just more of an individual player. But Adams thrived under a partnership. We just are not giving that to him.
Now, something I sort of felt for the first couple of games is that individual errors costs Nathan Jones. But when individual errors keep happening, Ollie, is that more down to his team selection? You know, Lianca, he made a mistake against Fulham. He gets picked again over Chiletisar to start with. Then he makes the mistake that, don't get me wrong, if it might have been a nil-nil draw, he might have lost anyway. But it was the goal that, you know, meant that we got a sixth successive loss. At that point, is that Nathan Jones' fault that he keeps picking the players that make those mistakes?
It's a bold move. I thought personally he would get dropped. The thing is with Lianco, we all know it from when he signed, he's an emotional player. And sometimes those emotions get the better of him. Sometimes it makes him thrive and get in the zone. We saw it against Arsenal. He had a brilliant game because he was just on the edge, the right amount of aggression to show that that toughness to the players without getting carded or sent off. Sometimes he can lose his head and completely throw games. And against Fulham, in the end, the penalty wasn't decisive, but it was a major mistake, which for me caused doubt. And if you're a striker, look at him next week, you're going to think, let's put pressure on him because he's got a mistake in him. We've talked about centre-backs that have had mistakes in them in the past and they've all been shipped off, you know, Bednarek, Stevens, they've all gone out on loan because they have mistakes in them. But we've got a new guy in through the door and he's got mistakes in him as well. It's frustrating. And personally, I thought he would have got dropped and brought in Chiletisar, who I thought, I've said the same thing. Oh, well, doesn't matter. I thought he would have come in because I think we look more comfortable with him on the ball. I think he at least has some, at least he's comfortable taking on the ball and finding the pass. Whereas I think Lianco looks dodgy, if that's the best word. And it proved today he got caught on possession, got dispossessed, and they went up the other end and scored. It's as simple as that, really. That's all I was going to say.
Jamie, who do you put those individual errors to? Because, you know, we're not on the training ground, so there must be some reason that he's put Lianco after a mistake. Sometimes you go, do you know what? He's made a mistake, but I'm going to give him another go. I'm going to put the confidence in him, you know. I can't remember if it was you or Ollie that said that last podcast, but the reason that you want to keep Bazunu in there is because you don't want him to lack that confidence and get drops. How about Lianco and how about other players that maybe haven't performed at a certain level?
Well, in our team, we're crying for experience, crying for players with top league chances and top league experience. And that is Chiletisar on the bench with 300 plus appearances in top league football. That's probably more than our back three starting today have combined. And he has him and Stuart Armstrong must have done something to Nathan Jones to annoy him. So, like, I honestly have no idea why they're not starting because Chiletisar's better than Lianco, whatever. He's better than him. That's a fact. I just honestly have no clue as to what he has done to justify him not starting. I think Chiletisar made one mistake where he didn't put enough power on a pass and nearly had to go. Apart from that, he was decent when he came on. He was all right. He looked good. His long balls actually looked good compared. I know that nothing came from him. However, they actually looked decent compared to everyone else.
There was one moment where he had a kind of soft back pass to Bazunu. That's only because he didn't have a man on call. And as soon as the ball got cleared by Bazunu for a throw-in, he turned round and started saying, "Where's my call?" So clearly, even the players aren't talking to themselves, which is a basic fundamental of football. You give your teammate a man on call when they've got a man on. And it wasn't happening. And he was telling them that needs to be sorted. So if you've already got a player that can make mistakes and he's not getting a man on call, of course you're going to have problems. And it seems like we're going for a back five because we've got enough centre-backs to do it and not actually because it benefits our play style. I don't think we looked any better for a five. I think it weakened us.
And one thing I noticed as well, not only are the wing backs on the left side and the right side coming so narrow to collect the ball, but the first thing they're doing is to look down the line and play a pass. Well, we're playing two up front. There's no one down the line. You're meant to be down the line. But Walker-Peters can at least take the ball and carry it. Giroud's not that confident, and he's looking for someone to play down the line, looking for a winger to play down the line. And there's some miscommunication between the manager, the setup, and the players he's got. I don't think they're comfortable playing these positions. We are not in the position at the point we are in the league and the point we are in the season. Can I remind everyone, by the way, we've played everyone once now. Bar one, I can't think of the one people we haven't played. But we've essentially played every single team in this league, and we've got, what, 12 points out of it? Double that by the end of the season, 24. That's one of the worst points scores you could get. That's dead last 24, I reckon. So unless we have an insane second half of the season and we pull up results that we should have got in the first half, that is almost definitely relegation. And we're potentially looking at rock bottom as well. What's that going to mean for the January transfer window? But everyone's saying we need to bring in these players. Who the hell is going to sign up for that? Unless we put a person on a big wage and say, come join us, there's no guarantee that they're going to bring results. It's just that they might come for a paycheck. It's really, really worrying, and it will be very interesting to see how they steer this ship back on track.
Ollie, this might sound like a straight question, or maybe a particular strange one as well, due to the fact that we've lost four consecutive games without a level of improvement. And I think that's, before I go on to it, I think that's what I'm most concerned about. I don't mind losing games. Look, I'm a Saints fan. I'm used to it. That's what we do. We're 15th for most seasons recently. But when you don't see at least incremental improvements game on game, that's where the concern lies. Do you think Jones knows what he has to do to keep this team up? You know, he's not managed in the Premier League before. I didn't know how big of a, you know, difference that could have been, because, you know, Graham Potter, he became a big success when he moved from Swansea to Brighton, and now obviously at Chelsea. Do you think he has what it takes?
The one thing that concerns me, it always concerns me, if you play five at the back and you still, or three, whatever you want to call it, and you're still shipping goals, there is a problem with individual mistakes or setup, and you're leaking goals. We're not tight at the back. If we didn't concede a goal for the rest of the season, the minimum you'd get is what, 18 points? It guarantees you that you stay in games if you don't make mistakes. And it's not like under Ralph, we'd have attacking football, which meant, yes, sometimes we would overcommit and we'd be caught on the break. But at least you could say, okay, maybe we get a few goals, maybe we outscore the opponent. At least some of there's attacking football and some positives to be seen there. We're not seeing the attacking football coming as a consequence of it anyway. We're not seeing the defensive solidity. We're not seeing anything. It's all just disappointing. And does he know what he knows what he needs to do? Any manager can look at it, any pundit can look at it. He needs to shore up the defense, improve the build-up play, and get some goals in the back of the net. That's what he knows he needs to do. The question is, does he think he can do it with what he's got in front of him? No, I don't think he can. I think that's down to basically the quality of the squad. That's not. There are talented players in there, but I'm talking about picking a team tomorrow. I'm not talking about a team in 3 years' time, because the team in 3 years' time, the way it looks at the moment, could be very high potential. But this isn't a video game. This isn't some sort of simulation. We're playing now, and we need those players to perform now. It's a massive ask to ask 18-year-olds and 19-year-olds to be your best players week in, week out, because they don't have the consistency. They did have the consistency, they'd be looking at playing in top six teams right now. They're not. We're taking risks by playing them, and we don't have players now that are performing. I don't know how Stuart Armstrong's not playing from the start. I think there must be a fitness issue there, because I don't see a reason why he doesn't play. He's experienced, he progresses the ball well, he finds passes, he's comfortable when pressed. I don't understand why he doesn't play. These are players that are experienced and can play now at their peak of their game. He's not getting a game. I do not understand it. So, does he know what he needs to do? Yes, of course he does. Does he have the the facilities, the players there, I don't think he does.
For a want of a better phrase, Jamie, does he have a lot of bark but no bite? You know, when we heard that he came in, he said, look, we're going to start trying to keep clean sheets because this club, with all due respect, that's a phrase that he likes quite a lot, haven't kept a lot of clean sheets. I'm going to make Che Adams better. We're going to be a team that's hard to beat. We're going to be a team that the fans are going to be able to get behind. It's very easy to say these things. I know he's going to be trying his absolute hardest. That's one thing we do know about him. But sometimes trying your hardest at the professional game, at the top level, may not just be enough.
I just think it was a disappointing appointment from the board, a lack of ambition. That when that was announced, I was trying to think of the positives. I was thinking, you know what, it kind of fits the model. However, that did not matter. We were in crisis mode when Ralph went. We should have gone somewhere with experience. A Sean Dyche. I know I was grilling at Mikey for saying it when he suggested it before, but he's a man with experience in a relegation scrap. Yes, he may not have succeeded in that relegation with that's the one. However, he has how many years in the Premier League? Like what, 10 plus? That is someone we need at the club right now who can shore up the defence and scare the players, to be honest, because that is a scary man. We need someone that players will look up to and respect. Nathan Jones does not show that. Yes, he's like this nice guy from Luton. However, he has not got the fear out of the players. Players do not look up to him. We need someone that can do that. The players will play for them because the players right now are playing for the wage, and that is it.
And if anyone's new around here and this is your first podcast that you're listening to from us, A, thank you. But B, just to let you know about who we are with Ralph Hasenhüttl, we gave him more time than I think almost any other Saints fan did. And when he did go, that's the time that we believed that was right. We're not looking to get rid of a manager immediately, almost like a lot of people did with Ralph Hasenhüttl. So we back people, but it feels like Ollie, Jamie, and maybe even myself, I'm feeling it right now. I lack a bit of belief. Ollie, what should they do with Nathan Jones? And what are the chances if he does go? A, just what are the chances, really? You know, he signed a contract until the end of the season in 2026, so the fee's going to be quite high. It could be balancing out the books, looking at, you know, Luton, where we, you know, got money or had to give them money. It could be, if we get rid of him, we might not have money in the transfer window. What's the situation looking like from your perspective? What would you do?
I think they need to question whether the players have confidence in what he's trying to get them to play. I think that gets to a certain point where you realise we're not getting results. We're not seeing any improvement whatsoever. And you have to look at it in a slightly longer way and say, are we going to pick up the points required to stay in the league? That's what it's got to this point now. Are we going to be able to get the points to stay in this league? Not to get back on track now, try and get to our 15th, which the board would have set. It's now get us out of the relegation zone. Are we going to be able to do it under this manager? And if we're not going the right way, hang on, like this Sports Republic that have come in, they've built themselves on data statistics and all these different, you know, revolutionary ways of analysing the game. They're going to be able to work out if the manager's picking up enough points to keep them in the league. And there's a point of no return where it's too far gone. We won't be able to save it. If it's not working, they will bring in someone who's a specialist at getting people out of relegation zones. And I know it's not favourable. It's almost like throwing the towel in a little bit. It's conceding that, yes, we are finally in a relegation zone. Sometimes you have to come and face the facts. We've done it before with Mark Hughes. We've gone, we're going to shore it up. We're going to get the points required, and then we'll reevaluate at the end of the new season if we're still in the Premier League. And it might have to be done. It might have to be done if we've seen. I reckon there's some people calling for his head now, and I understand it because this is the most winnable game of the season, and we've lost it, which is a massive, massive worry. But I think you have a cup game, which is like a free roll of the dice.
And we're going to it. For some reason, me and Ollie thought it'd be a good idea to buy tickets to Palace away.
Christ.
And we're unfortunately going to have to suffer that game.
So we've got Palace on Saturday. Then we've got Man City's the next game at St. Mary's. Is there a game in between, Harry?
No, that's the cup game.
So there's two games there that really they don't really mean anything, to be honest. Because I don't want to see us do a cup run right now. You might be like, oh, it'll be nice. If you get relegated, no one's going to care if you got to the semi-finals. They would say just play full strength team in the league. That's what I do now. I'd absolutely, I try and use it as a way to get some belief back into the players. Maybe try and bring someone in. Maybe give Stuart Armstrong a full 90. I don't know, something radical like that. But yeah, use it as a way to do your final adjustments, and then when we can get back into the Premier League, hit it full head on. But I reckon you've got two cup games there and another game in the league. And if we lose another game in the league, that for me is the marker. It's like, okay, tick or twist. That's the point for me.
Jamie, what would you do? You know, you've played Forest, and in the list of four, Everton, Villa, Brentford, Wolves, they're the next four. What should happen? Because this January transfer window, it could be massive. If we have the right manager in charge, the right belief, they get their players in that they want. If Nathan Jones gets his players that he might want, you know, anything could happen. I've asked Ollie what he would do. What would you do in this situation? Four games in, Crystal Palace at the start of a season, I think 3 or 4 years ago, they sacked Frank de Boer after four games in charge, replaced him with Roy Hodgson. Yes, we did beat them when Roy Hodgson came in immediately, but they stayed up and, you know, look at them now. They've completely revolutionised and now under Patrick Vieira. What should happen to Nathan Jones?
It's very tough that we're in a transfer window now as well. Because, like I said, we bring a few players in that Jones wants, then by the time we've gone through Everton, Wolves and whatnot, then we go, you know what, this isn't working, sack him. Then we just wasted that month. We could have brought in another. And that's what I think is going to happen, to be honest. What I think is going to happen is we'll sign a few of his rubbish players from the Championship. So, I don't know, bring in his captain from Luton or whatnot. And then we'll go down. Because he will not last the end of the season. We'll bring in a manager, try and save us, but it'll be too little, too late. It's like Tony Adams when he went to, I think it was Genoa in Girona. Sorry, I think in Spain. He's like, I will save him. Got relegated after the six games he had to save. That's going to happen to us. He will not last the year, and then we'll bring someone else too late. And then they'll maybe bring us back for the Championship.
I was going to say, it stinks of Carrillo, doesn't it? You know, when we signed him to back the manager and then realised it's a terrible decision and end up getting lumped with someone we don't want. I really don't hope that happens. I want to believe in the manager that's that's been appointed, and the people in the background believe he is the right man for the job. But I'm not seeing anything there. What is there to get excited about or think, oh, that's a positive? It's got worse since we've seen him in charge. We haven't seen any improvement. I thought the Fulham game was slightly better, but then we let down even further by individual mistakes. And then today we had individual mistakes and even worse style of play. And build up and anything else involved in that 90 minutes, it all got worse. So I don't know whether it's the occasion that got too much for them, but I don't exactly think it was. I don't know about you, Jamie. It wasn't exactly rocking in there, because it's a Wednesday night.
The light show.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Harry, that was 2 million from what I heard.
Are you joking?
That's mental.
It was rubbish. I don't know who thought that was. First of all, who thought that was a good idea? Second of all, it got I'm not gonna say leaked, but it got announced by an Athletic reporter. Did it even get mentioned by the official club press or whatever, or did they immediately get backlashed because it's a load of rubbish that basically no one wanted? Load of nonsense. Honestly, I cannot believe it.
I didn't even see it because I was in the Kingsland, so it's only in one stand, barely anyone did it. So it's like all you can see is rough red and white stripes. So what was the point?
Yeah, honestly, I do not know. It's so tone deaf of where we are at the moment. I mean,
Who the hell wants a Coldplay style like light show? I don't want that. Just to play football for Christ's sake. Oh, yeah.
It's a bit like the Coldplay where it's to generate power by moving our wrists so we can save some money and bring in some players. We can't afford to put the lights on for the game. You know, guys, get moving, wave your wrists around, and bring the money to the club.
Hmm. They cut off the Saints brass today as well. I know this is completely unrelated, but I'm kind of sick of talking about the football because it was a little rubbish. They cut the Saints brass off, which was really sad. They probably did about 30 seconds. And then the Premier League theme came in and cut them off. So you can hear them going, but there's no microphone on them. So you can hear, so poor them. They're playing along, but nothing was coming out of the speakers. Anyway, should we go back onto football?
I think that's, yeah. I think they have brought the mood up. I think that's one good thing that we can take about Saints is the Saints brass. At least they try and lift the mood because the other music, it just doesn't work. Anyway, from the Forest game, 0.39 XG, 8 shots, 0 on target. And I don't mind watching ugly football as long as we don't get ugly results. And we've got 4 of them in a row. Earlier today, as a podcast, we're asked to create a video for a YouTuber called James Lawrence Alcott.
Ooh, about name drop.
Let me just put that down there. Of a heart prediction and a head prediction. And this was before the Forest game. And it made me think, do you know what? I'm going to write down the reasons that I think we could stay up and that we couldn't. And for the heart, you know, I said 17th, that we've been in relegation predicaments before, but then yet again, it's with a completely different squad and we probably don't have the experience. We've got a winnable set of fixtures ahead of us and we're only a couple of points away from 17th place. And I looked at that and thought, yeah, do you know what? We've got a good chance. But then I remembered, I looked back at West Brom season when I think they beat Chelsea, I think 5-2, they beat us 3-0. And you can have good one or two good results. But if all the others, where nothing happens, it doesn't matter if you pick up 6 good points. If you out of 20 games, that simply won't be good enough. And I slowly started to feel that my heart's going nearer my head, where I put 19th, that we've only kept one clean sheet, which is the equal worst in the whole of the 92, plus the National League. There's been no new manager bounce. We can't score and we can't defend. If we are going to stay up, we need a new striker and a new holding midfielder. Ollie, like you said, you're going to Palace with Jamie on the weekend. What I feel like I've said this every single podcast because we've lost every single game in the recent weeks. But what do you want to see? What's going to make you have hope in the next game that makes you think, do you know what? Maybe, just maybe, we're going to start picking up points.
Okay. I'll do a little... If Nathan Jones, if you want to listen to this, or anyone near the club, if you want to just pass this on to Nathan Jones, I'll keep this as simple as possible. Put 4 at the back. I'm sick of 5 at the back. Put 4 at the back. Okay? I don't care the 2 centre-backs you pick, but preferably not Leanco because he's not mistaken it. But we'll keep it 4 at the back. Fine. A dedicated number 6. If Lavia is fit enough, play him. If not, put Ward-Prowse in the 6. 2 holding midfielders. So there's one that's definitely going to hold as a 6 and someone who's going to slightly get forward and backwards. Ideally Ward-Prowse. Lavia, Ward-Prowse. 3 across the midfield. Elianusi, for me, has been our most consistent player in these 6 losses that we've had in a row. And I know that's not ideal. I was talking about it at halftime. And I was saying, he's never really shone, but he's never really let us down. He's just kind of a consistent performer. He tries hard. He does make things happen. He just doesn't really have too much of an end product. But he does enough. So Elianusi, for me, has to start. Adozie provided sparks when he came on, but is not always as consistent. You don't expect anything more than an 18, 19-year-old. If he's up to it, start it. Stuart Armstrong, for me, should start on the pitch. He's experienced. He progresses the ball well. Put him on the right. Put Che Adams up front. 4-2-3-1. And when you need to defend, put it into a 4-5-1. You're going to have a bank of 4, a bank of 5. Squeeze over. Let them have it wide. Sit narrow. And if you need to defend, just defend in a 4-5-1. It's easy as that. Show them out wide. Let them have crosses and just cover your box where the danger zone is. And players know how to play that position. You don't need to be fancy with 3-5-2-1s and all this. It doesn't need to be that difficult. Go back to the basics because that's what we've been struggling with. That's all you really need to do. I mean, if you had one of these managers that would come in and shore things up. They'll stick you in a 4-4-2 because every player knows how to play a 4-4-2. But I think, first of all, I don't think we've got the two strikers to play a 4-4-2. So that's why I put Che Adams up on his own, hold up possession, and put the wingers out wide. That's the exact formation we've always played when we've had success under Koeman, Pochettino, glimpses under Ralph and things like that. Quick wide players that get in behind, player that can hold up the ball, which is what Che Adams can do. Maybe not up high, maybe down to his feet, where he can take it a touch and lay it off or into a attacking number 10 behind him. It's really simple things that need to be done. So a formation that is not overly complicated. Four at the back, 4-3-1. That'll do it for me. Let's see some attacking football. Let's see some quick football as well. If I see that against Palace, I'll have a bit of hope. Because the amount of times today, centre-backs taking 4, 5, 6 touches to move the ball and move it on again. Get some two-touch football going. It's not that difficult. They're the highest league and, you know, we're playing the most competitive, highest league that there is. Play some two-touch football. Get it moving around a bit more. You know, Lavia can take it under pressure. Ward-Prowse can take it under pressure. We've got these players that are comfortable on the ball. And yet they're shying away. They're hiding away so they don't have to go and get the ball. And we've got our centre-backs playing it off each other and just not moving it, not taking any risks. Take a risk. It's a cup game. No one cares. Just take a risk and let's see something with a bit of creativity. Why not?
Jamie, like I said, you're going to Selhurst Park as well. What needs to unfold for you to have hope that we're going in the right direction or that we're going to start going in the right direction?
To not be as tactical and in-depth as Ollie, I just want to see the players actually try and actually show the fans that they care. Because from watching that game, I did not see a single ounce of effort from any player. If I'm honest, but the only player that actually showed that they cared was Prowsey. At the end of the full-time whistle, he got the players about to go down the tunnel, but he gathered everyone and made sure they got the players to go around and clap. I know we lost. I thought that was good, but obviously it doesn't matter. It doesn't change the 3 points. We still got none. What I want to see is them actually prove to the fans that they care. That's the only thing I want to see.
You can tell a lot by the body language of the players after. And Ward-Prowse clapped. Elie Nussey clapped. Stuart Armstrong clapped. And that takes balls. Because let's be honest, that was probably the biggest boo that I've heard at St Mary's for a long, long, long time. And they still put themselves on the line and said, yeah, I'll still clap and show my appreciation for the fans. I also think you've been a little bit harsh on Perraud. I thought he gave a lot today. And I know he wasn't particularly successful. I think he was uncomfortable at left wing back. But I think he did at least try. He put his body on the line. He put himself into challenges. He does those presses when you can tell he's really fed up and just goes and presses the keeper. He did that a couple of times today. So I think he's one player, again, that you can't really drop. Because he shows his energy and he shows his passion. So I think Perraud deserves a little mention. I mean, it's not much, but still. I think that's, yeah. But you're right, Jamie. You could tell afterwards. I mean, do you see Salisu run straight down the tunnel?
Mm-hmm.
What was that about?
Straight down.
That's always nice, isn't it? Do you know, it's the subs as well. I didn't know. I was looking on Twitter after the game to see if there's any injury updates because I'm pretty sure every single player on the triple sub, now I can't think who it was off the top of my head, but they all went down the tunnel after they got subbed as well. What's that about? Why not stay on the bench and, you know, do what everyone else does? Why go straight down the tunnel? If you're injured, fair enough, go and receive treatment down the tunnel. Don't just storm off down the tunnel by the end of the game because you don't fancy it. That shows, again, man management as well. Don't let your players do that. Don't let them have the attitude to do that and storm off. Maybe get a bit of control of who you've got. I know you don't know them that long, but, you know, that kind of entitlement that, oh, we're playing bad, I don't want to be here, I'm going to storm off. Maybe get control of your players a little bit and don't let them do that. I don't know. I don't know what, I might be wrong. Then we might get information about injuries in the post-match conference. I haven't seen it. I don't want to assume anything, but yeah, again, I really wasn't happy seeing all the players going down the tunnel during and after the game.
Sort of to add on what you said there for my penultimate question to you, Ollie, do you think the players lack belief in Nathan Jones?
Maybe. If they're not confident with what they're being set out to do, if they're being told we're going to be direct and we're put straight up to Che Adams to compete with a 6'5" centre-back, I mean, yeah, you're going to be cause for concern there. You're going to be
why am I being set up to fail? And, you know, sometimes we've seen it with previous managers before. Players do what they're told, but they don't agree with it. You know, Puel was so set on that you have to wait for the killer moment. You have to play this real possession, low style of football. You saw the players do it, but God, could you tell that they didn't want to? And you have, do you remember when Redmond was being managed by Pellegrino and Pep goes over to him and goes, basically, why don't you have a go? Why don't you run at them? And he's trying to answer back as furiously as he can underneath a hand, basically saying, it's not my fault. It's what the managers made me do. You don't have to be a lip reader or, you know, have a microphone on them to know what you're saying. You can tell it by the body language. Sometimes that, you know, the players are professionals and they do what they're set out to do. If your manager tells you to do something, you do it. Otherwise, you won't play. But if they're reluctant to do so, you will not get the results, and it will show. It showed a bit today that the build up play was so aimless. It almost looked like they didn't know what they're doing. I'll link back to Jamie's point. What were they doing in pre-season? You know, you have build-up play, be it build-up moves. Is it to bring it out wide, find the space that you've created there? Are you going over the top? Are you going up to a strike? And it looks like the only thing that they've been doing and practicing is booting it aimlessly straight up to a striker, which may work in the Championship. That might be your perfect move, David Jones, in the Championship for Luton. But I'll tell you what, it is not working in the Premier League.
And finally, I'll ask you both this, and I'll start with Jamie. Apart from, you know, forget about the Nathan Jones managerial side of it. Let's have a look at Sports Republic. They've been here for a year, and now it's January. Or you can look past January, you can look at the long-term, short-term, whatever. What do they need to do for you to have confidence back in them? Because when they joined, they've got this big brand idea, long-term, everything's going to be perfect and dandy. Mr. Gow's out. We're here to shine. We're here to bring the energy. And it hasn't quite worked. It spells at times. Maybe we've thought, oh, that's quite cool. That's quite nifty. But overall, you know, we're 20th in the table. What do they need to do?
It's tough because we were very, as a podcast, we were very positive about the change. Because obviously, Gow's ownership was very odd. Because obviously, he wanted to invest all this money. Then the government kind of went, no, you're not allowed to do anything. Which obviously it was not entirely his fault. But obviously, he could have missed a bit more. Then coming up to this thing of all this new owners coming in and saying all these promises, like you said, building an empire around the club. They're trying to build an empire around a fallen city. That's what they're doing right now. Thank you, thank you, thank you. but serious though, they genuinely are. They're trying to make us the pinnacle of their company, but they're not backing us. Yes, I get the transfer window, but they invested 80 million, which is the more we've ever had ever. It's probably the most money we've ever spent in a window, excluding when we sold our players in 2015. It's probably the most money owners have ever invested in the club. But what have we got from it? All they did was sign players that they know they can sell in 2-3 years. That's all they did. They didn't sign quality. They signed investments, which works if we already had the quality in our side. However, we got rid of all our quality players and replaced them with young players, which, yeah, have a good future. However, that future will not be with the club. The future will be to double the money on them and sell them on. What they need to do is bring in the experienced players. That's all we need is 1, 2, 3 experienced players in their heads. They're leaders. Don't get me wrong, Prowse is a good captain, I think. However, he's lost his left-hand man in Romeo. We need someone to get control of that dressing room because clearly the manager can't do it. Need a solid, solid player to come back. And like a Jose Font, not saying bring him back, for example, but a player like him who would control the back line, who would control his side. I don't necessarily see Prowse doing it all the time, but what I just need is an aggressive, aggressive number 6. Go bold. Have Romeo on the back of the shirt, but not be Romeo. Be a bit younger and last a bit longer.
Yeah, it feels like at the transfer window that the Orsic deal, whether there's any truth behind that, that's gone through the floor. TalkSport said that we're looking at Ings. Well, he scored tonight for Aston Villa to get them a point against Wolves, so I can't see that happening. Ollie, I'll ask the same question to you as my final question of this podcast. Excluding Nathan Jones's future and what they should do, what does Sports Republic need to do to get back on your side?
It still feels like the dust hasn't really settled. I'm hoping we see some clear, basically consistency. And
I don't think the foundations have been built yet. And I don't want to go back to Jamie's City allegory, but it did make me think that the fact that we had our recruitment director join and leave within the space of the month, well, that sort of background chaos really kind of breaks your stride when you're trying to set something up. We're trying to get things going, and then they fall straight back down again. And we have a restructure again of the managing staff and managing directors and all this. That's all reshuffled. And now we've got management reshuffling, and now we're going to have the formation changes. All that. And I know there's some things that you can't keep the same in football, but it seems like if it's able to be changed, we've changed it in the last year. So maybe rather than all these drastic changes that we call out for, it would be nice to have something that stays for a while. So I hope that is Sports Republic, and they set their foundations and they go, no, we are installing this, and this is going to stay for a while, because it at least gives something to build off. Whether that's a certain managing director, or whether that's a certain CEO, or a certain recruitment manager, or something like that. At least if we can say, yes, this is what we're doing, and it's here to stay, I think that would provide me so much comfort, because I've been burned so many times before, Harry. You know this as a Saints fan. You have something good and it gets ripped away from you. So at least if we could keep something, some foundation to keep and set us on the right track for a while, I think that would be so beneficial for us moving forward.
I was going to say, it used to be good players that got ripped away from us, and now it could be our Premier League status. Oh, yeah. We've looked back to the Forest game. We've looked back at Nathan Jones. What could have he done during that game, during the four games that we've lost? Or maybe even look back at his middle pre-season part. What could he have done then? We've had a look at Sports Republic, the possible transfer window, and the style of football. It's been me, Harry Tizard. I've been joined by Ollie Boast.
Keep the faith, everyone.
Jamie Allen.
I love Hasenhüttl.
What a sign-off.
Bold ending statement. Remember, you leave a review, that'd be lovely, on Apple Podcasts, or a 5-star on Spotify, and we will see you next week.